This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Dead at the age of 83. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Remember Charles Manson? Oh, you remember him. Every time there was a patrol. Every time there was a parole hearing, he would come up for parole and it would be discussed. He was the 60s cult leader whose followers committed murders that definitely had L.A. on edge. He died on Sunday. So at the age of 83, the twisted cult leader Charles Manson is dead. That's big news if you think of so many of the stories and what happened with Manson and what he did and lives that he ruined. And he served 9 life terms in California prisons, was denied parole, like I said, you kept hearing his name, 12 times, but his notoriety was unparalleled, boosted by popular books and movies made about him. So he really was this cult figure guy who fascinated people because of his darkness, his vision, all of that kind of stuff. And his family, they were incredibly loyal to him, meaning he called them family. His followers were incredibly loyal to him. So there was always a curiosity, and the killings that he was ultimately convicted of happened in August of 1969 at the home of actress Sharon Tate and her husband, who was a famous movie director then, Roman Polanski. He was out of the country when it happened. The first time, or the first set of victims, rather, were Tate, who was 8 months pregnant, a celebrity hairstylist named Jay Sebring, coffee fortune heiress Abigail Folger, another writer, a friend of the family's caretaker. The next night, another set of murders took place. A supermarket executive and his wife were killed at their home. Although Manson ordered the murders, he did not participate. So if you do the math, over the course of 2 nights, the killers took the lives of 7 people, inflicting 169 stab wounds and 7 22 caliber gunshot wounds. Both crime scenes just revealed horrific details on these attacks. And forever and forever and forever, even if you weren't alive and you're listening to the show, when the whole Manson thing broke, the stories were out there constantly. And so much of that was because of the parole hearings. The parole hearings made his name come up more and more, I think, in the news. Going from this big story of Charlie Manson dead at the age of 83, and how many of you listening to my voice can, like I said, remember it in some way, to the sad story, quickly I'll tell you, of the Border Patrol agent that was killed in Southwest Texas. I've been to this area, and it's not an area where you would think he would be killed. He died Sunday. He suffered the injuries while he was responding to something on patrol in the Big Bend sector, which runs along the U.S.-Mexico border. They were both, you know, the partner reported they were both injured. The agents were patrolling near Interstate 10 in the Van Horn Station area of that, what they call that sector. Other agents responded. They tried to help the agent, who, of course, was critical, and both agents. The partner is hospitalized. I mean, what a horrible thing. I mean, even immediately, of course, the president tweeted out, Border Patrol officer killed at the southern border, another badly hurt. We will seek out and bring to justice those responsible. We will and we must build the wall. The guy that was killed had been a Border Patrol agent since 2013, and it's gotten probably a lot worse than originally at the border, but especially in an area that's not so remote, but is not Tijuana or Juarez. Maybe a little bit different there, but either way, sad, sad, sad story. Oh, awful story. Ugh. Then the president said he should have left some people in jail. Who were the people? The UCL players. Manny Moe and Jack, or they could be called that, because they screwed up by shoplifting in China a bunch of sunglasses. Give me a break, guys. So LeVar Ball, the father of one of the UCLA basketball players arrested in China, said now that the three, LeVar Ball, the father of Lee Angelo's, unaccepting of what I did for his son, and that shoplifting is no big deal is what Trump is saying. He's saying I should have left them in jail. Because it's true, the father has come out and when he was asked about Donald Trump's role in the situation, he said, who? What was he over there for? Don't tell me nothing. Everybody wants to make it seem like they helped me out. Wow. What dopes on a rope for doing that? Why? Of all places. And maybe it's a good thing it was China, because it was in some other hellish place. They would have not gotten on any plane. They would have not gotten the break that they needed. And even though it's a wicked can of worms to open, I mean, I think it would just crawls into everything. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. What dummies. I'll say it again. How do you do that? How do you steal a bunch of sunglasses and then get busted for it? Oh, awful. Stupid. Dumb. Doesn't make sense. And speaking of not making sense, I've gotten some emails from you about this, so I'm going to address it. And what am I going to address? Something that doesn't necessarily affect our country deeply, but it does affect allies, etc., and how we appear. But the embattled Zimbabwean president, Robert Mugabe, gave kind of a wild, rumbling, stumbling, televised speech on Sunday, but he didn't resign. There's an ultimatum on the table from his party that said it would make it, would move to impeach him if he did not step down by midday on Monday. Wow. And he's been in power for a very long time, so this is serious stuff. He has to do it or suffer the consequences, and the consequences would be easier to maneuver in his favor, right? And it would be in his favor. But that address was, that was all over the map. It was too long of a speech. Stay with us.
Attention, type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buy, sell, makeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
Was opened on him, Harvey Weinstein, apparently has 22 alleged sex crimes tied to Hollywood, and he's involved in some of them. It's a crazy wave and a watershed moment that is continuing to roll out there. And I say bravo to the victims who it really happened to, and shame on anyone else who tries to jump on the bandwagon where nothing like this has taken place. But I think across the country, I say America Tonight is about the conversation we're having, and this is the conversation we're having. So 22 alleged sex crimes linked to Hollywood and entertainment. Wow. Weinstein was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, this came out in the New York Times and New Yorker magazine in October, but it's led to this wild kind of furious flurry of other women and men, frankly, especially in entertainment, coming forward with similar allegations. So what happens is Weinstein, for example, boom, fired by the Weinstein Company, the production studio he co-founded with his brother. He was expelled from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. He's denying all the allegations of non-consensual sex. He's checked into rehab for counseling, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think there's any bounce back for him necessarily. Then there was, of course, other celebrities and comedians, including Kevin Spacey, and there have been a couple of accusations about him. And I think the insanity of some of what happened to people and the keeping their mouths shut, I get why they did, because of wanting to become famous, make the money, etc. But boy, has that led to some incredible stories that I think, again, some of these people are going to have a tough time bouncing back from. I always say it's, you know, forgive everybody everything to a point. There's some that you cannot forgive, and you just can't, you're just not going there. You're just not. So this is one of the things buzzing around the U.S., and I know in many of your cases I've gotten a bunch of emails from you. Some of you are coming forward and talking about your stories in your local areas to groups of people that you know, etc. And I think opening the dialogue especially is big and changes the way we view what's happening in the United States and how people are handling themselves, I suppose. That's, to me, that's a huge, I don't suppose, that's a huge, huge takeaway. I talked about this a little bit in the first hour, but the Keystone Pipeline cannot be undersold. This is a story that we've talked about on America Tonight almost from the very beginning, and talked about how ridiculous it was that ultimately the Obama administration felt squeezed by environmentalists and said, oh, we're going to back up on that. But initially, the EPA, the head of the EPA under the Clinton administration, said that it was fine, gave it a clean bill of health. So it's been in this weird limbo, and the TransCanada Corporation is saying that they've sent crews and equipment to the, even to the site of a oil spill in South Dakota from their Keystone Pipeline. So they're making progress, but it's all in the laps of what they decide to do in Nebraska, at least a big piece of this. Nebraska regulators are going to vote Monday, yes or no, on a proposed Keystone XL route. An expansion of that would also be operated by TransCanada. And for some people, it'd mean a lot of money, and it would certainly bring money and jobs to that area. But it doesn't feel necessarily like this will wash. So if that's the case, back to the drawing board, I suppose, right? I think so. Now, this is a sad story. Well, all of them actually have been really sad. But I was reading a story somewhere about this India passenger train that hit and killed two Asian elephants. And in that culture, oh, elephants are sacred. So these are endangered species, and they were hit in the northeastern part of India. They were part of a herd of about 15 that went into the area in search of food before dawn. So the other elephants crossed the track. The final two were trying to cross the track when the train hit them. Brutal. I mean, there was no major damage to the train. They went about what they would normally do. Roaming elephants in the area are hit by trains regularly. It sounds so odd, though. Imagine if I went into work and I said, you know, the train I was on hit one of those baby elephants. We stopped for a few minutes and then we continued on. Oh, boy. I don't think that would go over very well. Different cultures, and it shows you what happens and is acceptable in one culture would not be acceptable in a culture where you can't keep an elephant unless you're running the show and you are the ring master. And that's the only way. And that is definitely the only way. So let's zip to something else, a little bit of the odds and ends. And when I say odds and ends, in some cases, the ending is good. In some cases, the ending is not the ending we want to see. And I'm going to reiterate this in case you just tuned in. One of the other big stories is Charlie Manson, one of the most infamous mass killers, dead at the age of 83. All those parole hearings where he was denied, now he leaves prone because he's not there's nothing left with Manson, right? He said it all and sadly took the lives of way too many people, seven of them who had nothing to do with anything of his cult. And it was just one of those unfortunate situations for too many of them where they found themselves and really no escape valve. None. A nightmare when it happened, and a bigger nightmare in thinking of what it meant to all those families. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. So this is my little snapshot of history, quickly. If we were looking at November 20th, highlights of the day would include the Nazi war crime trials beginning at Nuremberg. How about that? How about Robert F. Kennedy born? How about Britain's future Queen Elizabeth II marrying? That's pretty big, I would say. Also, the Mexican Revolution began. How about Cabaret hit Broadway on that very day? Wow. So, big news, or big history anyway. I think it's cool that we go back in history and look up some of the bigger events because otherwise, what happens? We forget them. And if you have children or grandchildren, etc., and trying to pass that kind of stuff on, you'll get lost in it and you'll miss it. And it's all about connecting the dots. Right? Yes, of course it is. Just, I can picture you all listening to the show, nodding your heads. Ultimately, that's what the deal is. What is the deal with the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, just to get you hyped up about it? I was looking at the places to shop for Black Friday. Where are the best places? Well, Amazon, Target, they've got deals before Black Friday. So Cyber Monday, it's always worth checking out anything ahead of time. I was looking at state by state, even the malls that were best to shop at. And I found that to be pretty interesting. Talking about in Delaware, going to the Brandywine Town Center in Wilmington. And how many retail stores there were and what it would mean to get there on Black Friday. I don't know. Then you got to be willing. You're stuffed. Oh, you feel like you've eaten four times the amount you should. And then you're going to get in a car, drive, go wait in a line for whatever it is that you want to get. Oh, it's just stuff. Just stuff, people. Forbes Books at Bedtime and other offerings coming up here on America Tonight.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
To be joined here on the show by Hans van den Houten. He's written a great book called One Year in Africa, and I find it fascinating. After looking at this book, I really want to go to Africa, and he really takes you very, very deep. Hans, thanks so much for coming on.
Sure. Pleasure.
Let's talk about your adventure in Africa. For people hearing this for the first time and you pulling this book together, first, let's rewind this for a second. What made you want to write the book?
Well, I understand you read the book.
Yeah.
This is quite a while ago. It was in 1964, 65. It was my first job with Shell, the Royal Dutch Shell, and I was sent to Africa, which I did not anticipate it to go there, but since I spoke French, they found that I should go to the Congo, which was a French-speaking area. And as you read in the book, there was a lot of things happened, and the story just stuck with me, and many times I told people various parts of my experiences. And finally, in early 1990, I was working in New York City opposite the business library of the New York Library, and said, well, let me do some more research, because there were a lot of questions in my mind as to what really happened during the time I was there, because we had very little information, you know, while we were in the Congo. So I just did some research and became interested also in the history of the Congo, which went back to the late 1800s and the time that King Albert was the owner of the Congo. It was his private domain. So I read all that, and also I started reading articles that had been published in the New York Times, which you can all research there in the business library, about the time that I was there. And it supplemented the things that had happened while I was living in that country. So, you know, I said, well, why not write it down? It's maybe an interesting story for my kids, so they don't have to listen to my blabbermouthing anymore about my times in the Congo, so they can read it. And that's how it started. I started writing some parts, and then finally I retired also and decided to finish the book. And that's what happened. Then I got in touch with, at the time, was Author House, although I switched to another publisher, Litfire Publishing. And I put the book out there, and somebody edited it, a good friend of mine first, and then the professional editors from Author House put their hands to the book as well, just to make sure that the grammar was right, and some other suggestions. And we brought out the book, and that's what really happened. It was published in 2006.
Yeah, and I love what you said about your kids, so that you wouldn't, you know, go on and on, that they could read it. And I can only imagine when they were reading that you were so young, in your 20s, and how dangerous it was. Did it feel dangerous to you and your friend at Shell while you were in the middle of what was political turmoil, really?
Well, there's a big difference when you look at danger when you get older and when you look at danger when you're young. When you're young, it's like an extension of your period as a Boy Scout or as a young Army officer, as I was. And you have a different perspective. And also, you weren't 100% sure how dangerous it was until we got exposed to curfew. There were exercises to evacuate, etc. But at the same token, you don't really felt that it was all that dangerous. Then when I was transferred to Burundi, where I was regional manager for 5 months, replacing a colleague of mine who was on home leave, I was even more exposed to danger that was there. But again, it was something you took in stride, and you said, well, you know, it's there, but, you know, you have to cope with it. I had also a job to do. So some of it just passed by, and after it happened, some of the things, like when I was arrested for a brief period, and you say, well, that's part of the way the business is conducted here, and let's get on with it and do things. And so, yes, there was danger, but was one really aware of it? Not really. So amongst colleagues and friends that you made in that period, you started really doing things that would put away the thoughts of rebellion that was going on and the possibilities of all kinds of things, like what happened in Stanleyville.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Just did the adventures and did social life and parties, and you talk about that. And I guess that took you in other directions, because you said that you had a job to do, so you had business challenges and you had business you had to deal with, but you were also living an everyday life, right?
Life went on, and you had to make sure that you got your food on time, and that was a challenge, because if you weren't in that shop at 9 o'clock in the morning, which of course I couldn't do as a bachelor, I had to solicit the support of some of the wives or friends of my colleagues to do my shopping, because, as I said, if you weren't there at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, the shop would be empty. Wow. If there was anything anyway to get. I mean, a lot of things were not available, and on the other hand, we had all these luxury goods that we could get from Europe at special rates and all that, because of the currency differential, and that was easier to get. I think it was easier to get a bottle of whiskey than getting a roll of toilet paper.
Wow, that really puts that in perspective. If you were to take us back to a great memory, what was one of your best memories you took away from that?
think the challenge that I got, particularly with my colleague, when we had to supply Rwanda that was threatened to be put dry on gasoline, and when we had to make a quick decision to make a side trip to Uganda, which actually by the Shell rules was not permitted unless we had, you know, authorization from our head office in Leopoldville, which was in the Congo, because we were part of that organization. And the Shell rules were very clear. You cannot go to another country without the authorization and do things. And we decided, because of the quality of the communication we had with head office, which was virtually zero, that, you know, let's make the decision and face the consequences later. Because if we don't make the decision now, we will not have enough supplies in the country, which is also more in detail described in my book. So we made that rush decision, and ultimately it proved to be a very good one. We made a lot of sales because we had the product when the borders were closed. And I think this was one of the many things that I learned, that the rules are very nice to have, but if you cannot live by the rules because of circumstances, then you are forced to make decisions. And, you know, you face the consequences later, which in my case was that I was congratulated because we made the decisions. Yeah, it could have gone the other way, but, you know, such is life.
How about your colleagues? Did you feel like in this situation, having a team of people or having what I would call teammates was important?
Yeah, I think he was slightly older than I was. He was responsible for the eastern part of the Congo, which in itself was a big challenge because that was divided in two areas. One was the government area and the other one was being trampled over by the Simbas, which were the rebels fighting against the government. And he had to supply both ends of it. So he and I were both bachelors also, so we didn't have to worry about family and kids and all that stuff. So we could, you know, just look each other in the face and said, okay, we do it. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
And we sent messages with, as I wrote in the book as well, with our driver who was Congolese and couldn't come along with me because of the fact that he was Congolese and was not very much appreciated by the Ugandans at the time. So he took messages back that were sent off in Kigali by the American embassy, who we had, you know, good relations with, and they sent the messages on to the people where we wanted it to go. It was telexes. So that was the only way that my head office knew that what we were doing.
So, wow.
But we were already on the way and very much facing the same way, because my colleague in the Eastern Congo completely depended on me for supplies, because the border between Uganda and the Congo was closed already. So we shipped the gasoline to Rwanda, and then I onwarded the gasoline to him in the Eastern Congo. So we both had the same, if not, he had maybe even more reason for me than I had in getting the product there.
Wow. No kidding. We have less than a minute left, Hans. What do you hope people take away from reading the book, One Year in Africa?
Well, it's an adventure. It also shows the tremendous problems in that country, which are still persisting today. And I think it also shows that, you know, people who are in the commercial side of things still have to do business, meanwhile when the country is falling apart in a civil war, that you find ways to live with those problems. And I don't even want to compare it to what has happened recently in Syria and in Iraq. But, you know, there are similarities in way how you live there. And fortunately, we didn't get the total destruction in the Leopoldville area or in Burundi.
Mm.
But it's still, it's an exposure that that not everyone just experiences. And I think anyone reading the book, I think we'll get a feel for what it is like to be an expat in such a turmoil area.
Wow, just a terrific book, One Year in Africa. Hans van den Houten, thank you so much. Pick it up wherever great books are sold. You can get it on Amazon.com. Thanks, Hans.
Okay, you're welcome.
did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Virtual green room right now. I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to Eric Peters Autos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we got to go along with biodiesel, or we got to go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If there's such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels, and as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food, and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Well, ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at. But that could be a disaster, too, as well, for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that, what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about, like, used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid '70s, and they are were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple. on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry Hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids, and what does that mean, and should I get a hybrid, and how much does it cost to me, and what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry Hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of a hybrid in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural Southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because how can I, who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by with just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates, but when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes, so that's about 50%, and then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, a majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.